You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball, yes, even during a pandemic. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On this day, which is the 12th day of April 2020, happy Easter for those of you who celebrate it. And if you don't celebrate it, well, have a nice Sunday. We're going to be talking about the rule of seven and why I am no longer connected with Boston sports fandom. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You already know how to listen to a podcast. You're listening to one right now. Maybe you're using the website, which is lockedonmlb.com. When you are at home, staying safe, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Red Sox, hosted by my friend Gabrielle, or maybe you're going to check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB_net. We're on Instagram at LockedOnMLB. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Why am I dropping a podcast on Easter? Because I wanted to address something. Nothing spiritual. This is not a religious podcast. Nothing political. This is not a political podcast. And believe me, I've got no information on COVID-19. I want to talk about something I bring up from time to time. I've heard other people talk about this. I've been talking about this concept for years. But I saw it unfold over a Twitter exchange I had with a guy named Nick, who's located on Twitter at FRUC1. I do not know what that refers to. Maybe that shows how old I am. And we had a fun back and forth on Saturday. But it made me think about something, and that is a specific concept, which is the rule of seven. And seeing the rule of seven play out so specifically and almost perfectly with this guy, I realized that there's an element of fandom which is gone, and it might be time for us to let go of it or realize that other people won't understand and they never will, and it's not their fault. Let me talk to you a little bit about the rule of seven and get you through to understanding what that's all about. Think about your favorite sports team, your first favorite player, your first favorite memory. I'm guessing if you're a big sports fan, and you're listening to a baseball podcast on Easter Sunday, I'm guessing you're a big sports fan, or my mother, then you probably have your first real sports memory, your first real favorite player, when you're about 7 years old. The stuff that happened before that is kind of a hazy memory. Now, I remember my first Red Sox team and players when I was five, really when I was six, but I didn't really follow the ins and outs of a season until I was 7 years old, and that's important for what I'm about to say right now. And when you go through talking to sports fans, no matter where they are, that tends to be a pretty accurate rule. Think about it right now, just being honest, close your eyes. When did you first start realizing how the game was played, who the stars were, the first player that you feel connected to, the first World Series you feel like you experienced? Or if baseball isn't your number one sport, the first Super Bowl you remember experiencing, the first March Madness, the first NBA Final, the first Stanley Cup, the first Wimbledon, the first French Open, the first time you watch the Masters, whatever the heck your favorite sport is, and I don't judge, whatever your favorite sport is, that's what it is, okay? And I don't judge. But the first time you really experience it, it's around 7, right? And that's usually when you form your sports identity. That's usually when you begin to understand who your team is, where their place is in the world, whether they're a good team or a bad team, where you should have your expectations. And those expectations tend to form and stay solid the rest of your life. If you grew up in a time when the Yankees or the Celtics or the Detroit Red Wings are winning championship after championship, you're going to grow up feeling a sense of entitlement about that. You're going to grow up feeling like, yeah, this is what my team does. If you grew up in Cleveland and you're watching the Browns be terrible and move for a while, you're watching the Cavaliers and Indians wet the bed, you don't even have a hockey team, your expectations are going to be much lower. If you grew up, I'm currently in Los Angeles County, if you grew up in Los Angeles during the 1980s, then your expectations are sky high. Because the Dodgers were winning championships, the Lakers were winning it every year, even the Raiders showed up and won a Super Bowl. But if you grew up in Los Angeles in the 90s, then your expectations are lower than whale dung. Now, as someone who was born and did most of my growing up in New England, I grew up with a sense of not entitlement, but also a sense of, you know, sort of some puritanical punishment. The Red Sox were never going to win the World Series. That was written in stone. That was written on Mount Sinai. That was the 11th commandment. The Bruins and the Patriots were not really factors for me growing up. And quite frankly, even to this day, I don't care about either team. Everyone assumes I'm a New England Patriots fan because I'm a Boston Red Sox fan and I like the Celtics. But I didn't care about the Patriots. They stunk. They stunk every year, except for one year they went to the Super Bowl and they got their butts kicked. But that one year, it was kind of weird. Like, wow, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl? That's interesting. I never was a huge hockey fan. And I didn't really start following hockey until I was in California and the San Jose Sharks were formed. And if I have a team, it's the Sharks. But we grew up knowing the Celtics could win championships because they had Larry Bird when I was growing up. They could win. But none of the other teams could win. And if you grew up in that time, then that's how you viewed your sports fandom. Now, as a Red Sox fan, my year 7 was 1979. I did not experience 1978 as a fan. I knew who the players were. I knew who Louis Tiant and Bill Lee and Rick Burleson. My favorite player was Butch Hobson because his name was Butch. But I didn't really understand what happened in 1978. That would have been a brutal introduction to the world of baseball and following a team year in and year out. At the time, it didn't occur to me the Red Sox could even play in the World Series. I thought teams like the Yankees and Dodgers and Phillies and Royals were invited to play in the playoffs, and everyone else just played out the string. So my first year was 1979. Now, between 1979 and 1985, I didn't really see a contender. The one year they did contend later in the season was the weird split season of 1981, where in the second half of the season, the Red Sox made a run for it. But guess what? That was the one year my family lived overseas, so I didn't even witness that team up close. So year in and year out, the Red Sox were not a contender. I still followed them. I still cheered them. They still had some of my favorite players. But I understood that I wasn't entitled to anything. When 1986 came around, Red Sox fandom was kind of dormant. I mean, they had fans like me, but they had had a bunch of years where they were like, had some good sluggers, but they never contended, and we didn't expect them to. And suddenly, like a volcano, 1986 showed up. The Red Sox went to the World Series. They had the incredible comeback against the Angels, which was the kind of series they would have lost in the past. But let me tell you something that's very specific happened for me. I was a kid. I missed out on 1975. I missed out on 1967, the year that nobody could shut up about. And so, for me, that year was, finally, I have a team that I can cheer for, I can see in the playoffs, I can develop memories with. And when they got to within one swing of winning the World Series, I felt like I had hit the jackpot. The first contender I ever saw was going to be the team that won the World Series. Now, the collapse happened. The Buckner error is the most overrated play in the history of baseball. The game was already tied at that point. And it was a devastating gut punch. Now, what it did for fans like me is it gave us a solid memory of rooting for a team and having the rug pulled under us. It gave people of my generation a chance to look at the old-timers and say, okay, that's what this feels like. I get it. We're all Red Sox fans now. It was a baptism. And that pain, coupled with the great collapse in 2003, and also a decade in the 1990s, where the city of Boston saw nothing. They had one Bruins trip to the Stanley Cup Finals, which they lost. And it was a time where the Patriots made one Super Bowl appearance, which they lost. The Red Sox couldn't get past the ALCS. The Celtics couldn't get back to the finals. And it was a time of false prophets. People, if you're a Boston sports fan, were filled with hope. Is Nomar going to lead us to a title? Is Antoine Walker going to lead to a title? Is Drew Bledsoe going to lead him to a title? What about, you know, Bork? Is he going to lead the Bruins? There are all these people that made Red Sox and Bruins and Celtic and Patriots fans perk up and go, maybe this is it. No, no, not him. Wait, maybe him. No, no, not him. And then the 2000s came around. Again, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I'm not dead. When they won the Super Bowl, I was like, wow, I can't believe the Patriots won. And with that came the domino effect. Yes, we got one last big collapse in 2003, and then the Red Sox won in 2004, and boom, I went from saying, hey, am I going to ever see a championship in my lifetime, to which one of these four was the best? If you're a Patriot fan, I bet you've lost count of the titles. If you're a Bruin and Celtic fan, you can say, hey, I've got a parade of my own. And with that, I wondered what it would be if you were a Boston fan in the Rule of Seven and you did not experience all of that stuff I said before. You only were basically Adam Vinatieri on that you grew up in a world where you expected nothing but a parade. And that was back in 04, 05, and 06 when it was clear that young Boston fans were going to be experiencing lots of sports championships was a philosophical discussion. Well, what happened on Saturday was a realization of that coming true. And it not being a bad thing, just being something that we can no longer fight. Much like the urge to eat something. And even if we're staying home, we got to eat. And we got to be able to support some of our local businesses. And one way that I do it is I use Postmates. Now, I love eating. Anyone who knows me knows that. And I'm the kind of person who likes to think about dinner while I'm eating lunch. I love using Postmates. They deliver food from all the local restaurants that I can think of, and they bring them right to your door. They can also make trips to the convenience store and to grocery stores. So no more trips to the store during this whole time. No more late-night fast food runs. You don't have to worry about where to grab lunch. Just download the Postmates app on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days. To start your free delivery, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmates it. All right, so this is back and forth I was having with this guy, Nick. I mentioned him earlier at FRUC1 on Twitter. I don't blame this guy, but he kept going on and on about, I guess someone had posted something about the 1986 World Series, and he had said that he had no idea what people were talking about and why people my age or older obsess over about the 1986 season. He said that fraudulent 1986 team that for some reason everyone loves accomplished zero. Isn't that amazing? They got to within one strike of winning the World Series, and that was zero. And I made some of the points that I made to him, and he wrote back, couldn't roll my eyes any more than I just did. And wrote to me, I simply don't cherish losing teams literally 34 years later. It's laughable. I love the 07 Patriots, but at this point, I couldn't care less about that losing team. That's a team that went perfect in the regular season and then lost the Super Bowl. 1986 Red Sox will be overrated and worthless forever. This is some of the stuff he was saying. And I asked him a couple of times, how old were you in 2002? And by 2002, that was the year that the Patriots won the Super Bowl. And he said, I was 8 years old. And at that moment, I was not going to get frustrated or angry with the guy. I wasn't. Because he was born in a different reality than I was. He did not experience what I experienced and could never. And basically, he was, you know, he said a bunch of things. He said, this is what it's all about, championships. And he said, we've got to experience all this stuff, and you guys are still crazy about 86 and kind of rolling his eyes at us. And I get it. Because he was born, I'm not going to get into a, oh, you kids today, you're so spoiled. No, this is the reality he was born into. And the idea of hearing about what Boston fans used to suffer, it's something like hearing about, you know, someone from the old country in Ireland talk about how awful it was in Ireland. I don't care. I'm never going to experience that. I have a different standard than you now. And there is no way he can ever experience it. There's no way, even if the Red Sox go on an 86-year drought, there's no way he can. No way he should. This is what we wanted all these years, which is to no longer be the losers. We wanted to have a champion. We wanted to be able to look at a season and say, did we win the World Series? No, then let's move on to the next year. Now, I personally, because I was born at a different time, and also because I don't like to think of sports as binary, I can't think of a season where you get to the World Series as a failure. I just can't. I can't be binary and think there are 30 fan bases and 29 of them failed at the end of each season. I can't live that way. I can't live in a way that if you don't win a title, then just throw it in the garbage. I mean, you've obviously, if you win a World Series, if your team wins the World Series or gets to the World Series, there were good memories leading up to it. I've seen so many division titles, and some of them do fade out in my mind. I don't often think about the 2016 AL Eastern Division champs. I don't often think about the 95 Eastern Division champs. But those seasons had wonderful memories along the way. They gave us tremendously fun summers. That's true. They did. There's no getting around that. There's no arguing against that. But to say, well, I'll tell you how I should feel emotionally about a team is, did they have a parade or not? Well, that does make sense if you grew up collecting parades. If you went through life where, how many titles, I mean, I've lost track of the number of titles the Patriots have won. I know the Sox have won four, and the Bruins and Celtics have each won a pair since 2002. So obviously, that's how you're going to view a season. When you're averaging a parade every 2 years, sure, I get it. And we older Boston fans should not be screaming at the tides. We can look at each other and nod our heads and say, yeah, that's something that we experienced. We understood what the curse meant because we experienced it. For someone like this guy, it's going to be just an abstract, like the potato famine in Ireland. It's something he'll never experience, nor should he. He has a different experience. And I guess this is not me doing a podcast calling you kids today, you whippersnappers. It's me calling to Boston fans my age to say, understand that what we experienced is now gone. If there's a drought in Boston sports for decades, the people who grew up in this have a lifetime of memories to look back on. I think the worst time to have grown up a Boston fan would have been the 90s. And probably people that age, who are maybe 10 years younger than me, are the ones who probably experienced the greatest exaltation of the last years. But this guy was born, he said he was born in 1994. So, A, he's not experienced baseball without a wild card. He's not experienced baseball that ever had a labor strike. He's only seen the Red Sox really get crushed by the Yankees in 99, which he would be too young to remember, and 03, which he would be barely old enough to remember. So we shouldn't expect them. And it kind of shows to me that I, whatever connection I have to Boston, and it's probably over in some ways. I haven't lived in Massachusetts since 1987. The only, last time I lived in New England was 94, when I lived with my cousin in Connecticut for a little while. And my connection to Boston has always been with sports fandom. I'm a Sox fan. I remain a Celtics fan, but mainly the Red Sox. And then when the Red Sox have won all those World Series, then, you know, I feel like I want to eat chowder and dance around singing, you know, Dirty Water. But I realized in 2011 that Red Sox fandom was a lot different for me now, because they had their great collapse. They had the great collapse on the final day of the season, and they had that horrible September where they fell apart. And I was really frustrated for about one day. And then after that, I shrugged. Well, I was really hoping they'd win that, but time to move on. Because the Red Sox had two World Series titles in my lifetime at that point. They've won two since. 2011 is just a blip. I get it. But the Red Sox fandom that I used to have, that when I'm in Curse of the Bambino on HBO and Reverse of the Curse of the Bambino on HBO, that Red Sox fandom is gone forever. Good riddance to it, but people our age have to understand, we can't expect someone to get it, nor should we want to. There is a new breed of Boston sports fan, and it's completely unrecognizable to me. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's something that I haven't experienced. I haven't experienced expecting a title. I haven't experienced a binary sense of a season. Was it a title or not? If it's not a title, then I throw it in the dumpster. I'm waiting for another parade. That is the new reality. This guy's 26 years old. He's not a kid. He's closer to 30 than he is to 20. He don't know if he's married. He might be married. He might have kids. I don't know the answer to that. He's old enough that if he is married and kids, it wouldn't be outlandish. And with that in mind, I can't fight it. That's what Boston sports fan is. And he's right to roll his eyes. He's right to not understand, to not get it. Nor should he. And no intellectual argument could ever let him understand, nor should it. One of the reasons why 86 was so great emotionally is it gave me a connection to the previous Red Sox failures in a weird way. And also, it made me really appreciate what happened in 2004. But it happened. And because we've moved on and an entire generation is come of age. People my age have to come to grips with that. It's a different world. The Boston sports fan that I was and that mentality is extinct. Farewell, good riddance to it. And we shouldn't try to revive it. So what I'm saying is to my buddy, this eye-rolling Boston sports fan who goes by Nick at FRUC1, happy Easter if you celebrate it. I get it. You're a different animal. It's a form of evolution. One type of species of sports fandom, which is the angst-ridden sports fan of Boston, is now extinct. Evolution moves on and has created a new being, which I don't necessarily recognize because it's not who I am. I'm extinct. You live on. Have fun. You have a lifetime of great memories. Just realize that when we were growing up, we looked at Yankee fans as entitled and everything is what we hated. And we hated it because we wanted to be it. Well, now we are it. You are it. Go forth and have fun. Just realize people are going to be resentful. All I ask is don't have the resentment come from other Red Sox fans. This is the evolution of what we've wanted. So Nick, if you've listened to this, send me a tweet at Sully Baseball and know that I get why you're rolling your eyes. I totally do. Meanwhile, you can follow this podcast. I'm going to be dropping one tomorrow on Monday. We're available in the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB_net. And I'm at Twitter at Sully Baseball. Realizing that evolution is also a social construct and it has happened in New England. This is the Locked On MLB podcast for the 12th day of April 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.